Please turn to Daniel chapter 1, if you would, please. And could I ask you to stand for just a moment as we read the scripture? Follow me from verse 3. The king spoke unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, and he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored, handsome, skillful in all wisdom, cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave new names. For he gave unto Daniel the name Belteshazzar, and Hananiah was Shadrach, and to Mishael was Meshach, and to Azariah was Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the princes of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs had said unto Daniel, I fear my lord and king, who has appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall you make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the princes of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech you. Give us 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before you, and the countenance of the children that eat of your portion of the king's meat, and as you see, deal with your servants. So he consented to them in this matter, and he proved them for 10 days. He gave them their 10. And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the meat and drink the wine. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and wine that they should drink and give them pulse. And for these 4 children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all of his entire kingdom, and Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. You may be seated. Last week in our message, we looked at verses 1 and 2 of Daniel, and we reviewed the background of the book, and we noted the characters that were found in verse 1 and verse 2, and the timing, geography, location of where we were in history in the book. And so the first 2 verses tell us of the key players to start the story out. Jehoiakim, a bad king of Judah. He was replaced by Jehoiachin. Jehoiakim was replaced by Jehoiachin, and Jehoiachin was then replaced by Zedekiah. And when Nebuchadnezzar came and besieged Jerusalem, he actually captured the king, put him in the plaza, and brought all of his sons out, and then slaughtered his sons in front of King Zedekiah, and then poked out both of his eyes so that the last image that he would remember was his sons were killed, and there's no future for their nation or for his throne. So then we had Nebuchadnezzar, one of the most powerful people in history that you ever studied in school, and a brilliant man. But we will see in a couple of weeks as we move along in this book, he goes totally insane, and God uses this insanity to show all the world that God is God. And sometimes things will come into our lives that will cripple us a little bit to remind everybody around us and ourselves that God is God, and there is no man that has the power of God. Then we saw the invasion of Judah and the Jewish people taken captive. And there was more than one siege that came out of Iraq to attack Jerusalem. And we saw that this was located in the plains of Shinar, which is very interesting because this is where the Tower of Babel was built. And this is where Nimrod, the great hunter, and the one that his mother said she was the queen of the heavens, Semiramis, in the Easter holiday and the Christmas holiday in the Babylonian religions, got their start through this man in the plains of Shinar. And then for us today, we have United States of America troops in the plains of Shinar and in that whole region. And the frightening thing for us is that the Bible tells us the end of man's history is going to end up where we have our troops today. Ultimately, climaxing with the armies of the world coming into Israel and battling in the Valley of Megiddo. So we find this all very interesting because Daniel's mission from God as a prophet is to tell the people that are alive. It will tell us a few chapters from now that all these things will be locked up to understanding until the end times. And the people of the end times will be able to understand. And I believe that's you and me, that we can understand and we see that it's already unfolding before our very eyes. So we pray for our military and we thank those of you in the military and those of you that are spouses and children of military, because it's a very perilous time for our country and for other countries, the weaker countries. We're a strong country still. But then we saw, very sadly, that the holy vessels that were in the temple of God were actually stolen by Nebuchadnezzar, and he took them north. Now, these are precious things. And I highlight again that these items, every one of them found in Leviticus, have been recreated out of solid gold and whatever they were made out of, and they're just waiting in Israel to rebuild the temple and to replace these things in the temple. In your lifetime, this is an amazing thing. I've seen some of them having been in Jerusalem. And it's an amazing time for us to live because what Daniel talks about is in our lifetime. So the holy vessels, sadly, were taken from Jerusalem out of disrespect of our God. And they put him in a special place in the temple of his gods, which could have been a storage room or like a huge vault, which a king would do that was a conqueror. He would bring two things from a country to show how powerful he is. One, he would bring their gold and their silver and their idols and anything to, from their god to show that their god is inferior to the king's god. The second thing that kings would do is they'd bring the brightest of the country of the young men and teach them their language and their sciences and their arts and their literature, and then combine it with the foreign countries that they were captured with, and then Babylon would have the wisdom of all the world. Now, Babylon was the most powerful nation, but culture of the time. We get astrology from Babylon. We also get mathematics from Babylon. The Hanging Gardens of Babylon were one of the seven wonders of the world. Its military was amazing. And the city of Babylon is being rebuilt today. We found this out, that in this horrible time for the Jewish people, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, and Daniel, all three of them are prophesying and speaking in captivity under the pressure of being in a different culture during troublous times. And they actually are willing to sacrifice their lives to speak the truth to their nation. And they know that they could be beheaded if they don't do what the king or his agents tell them to do. But yet God used them. And it reminds us that no matter how much pressure we have on us, we can always be used by God. We can always communicate with God. And we can always fellowship with God. God will help us if we were to go through the great tribulation. God would be with us. I think we'll probably go up before that because of the wrath of God, the Bible teaches, is the great tribulation. And the wrath of God went upon Jesus Christ on the cross. And Jesus cried out, "It is finished." So for the believers that are alive and remain shall be caught up in the air always to be together with him. Now, we start the thrilling book and the story of a man that's worthy of each one of your personal admiration. I'm serious about this. I don't say this about many men, but this is definitely one, the guys of the Bible. But this man has a lot that he can teach you. If you're into leadership, this man can teach you. He was one of the three presidents when Darius became the king under the Medes and the Iranians, the Persians. He was a right-hand man to the Babylonian Empire. This guy influenced the world and world history, but he was influenced by heaven. He was visited by angels. He was spoken to by the Holy Spirit. He is given a tremendous intellect. And I would like to encourage all of you today, if you are sitting here, you have an intellect. Somehow you got into this gymnasium. And you need to use that intellect and keep it honed. You need to read, you need to write, you need to arithmetic. You need to do ABCs, you need to do Sudoku, you need to do crosswords, you need to do math problems, you need to read books, you need to be thinking and get out of yourself and go from Genesis to Revelation and let the wisdom of the ages fill your heart so you could have what this man has. He's about 17 years old when he starts. Now, most historians would say to work for the king and be a right-hand advisor, you would be a eunuch. And the chief eunuch of all the king's princes is in charge of Shadrach, Meshach, and Daniel. A eunuch is a man that has been neutered. And the kings would neuter those advisors around them so they would not have sexual urges and they would not be distracted by their bodies, that they'd be focused on their kingdom. Now, Jesus Christ himself said that some men became eunuchs because they were made that way. They were a slave, and their boss didn't want some strong, muscle-bound guy escaping or beating him up or raping any of his daughters. They made him eunuchs. They neutered them. And some chose to be, and others, he said, were born that way. So it is possible. We have nothing in the scripture that says it is absolute, but it is possible, and it would be understandable that these young men not only had to obey the calling of God in their lives, they may have been embarrassed or humiliated. We don't know that for sure, but it is a thought that goes along with Jesus suffering on the cross. I'm sure when he got in that garden and he said, Father, if there's any other way, and I know that all of you have done that. Is there any other way, God? This is so painful. It's so uncomfortable. I don't like this job. I don't like where I am or whatever, that we all are there sometime. But it's a place, as Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. In the life I now live in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loves me. He loves me. And so Paul died to himself, and Jesus was formed in him spiritually. So denying yourself is part of the Christian walk. When I hear somebody tell me that they're promiscuous or they're this or that, and they tell me they're Christian, I say, no, you're not. If you are, you must have just about 20 minutes ago prayed to become a Christian, give your heart to God. But no, you deny yourself, and you die to yourself. And the more you die, the more he comes alive, and the more the power of heaven is unleashed in you. And Jesus said, except a man be born again. And so the new birth does bring this ability to deny self. In fact, Daniel is a man that is worthy to be one of our role models, not only to receive our admiration, but a role model. He's a great leader. His leadership skills are fantastic. His communication skills are great. He's a wonderful human being that has excelled with his intellect. And the sole and only life that God gave to him, he surrendered it to God. And that's the role model for you and me. We surrender our life to God. And we must pick up our cross daily, Jesus said, and follow him. And we all have these same opportunities. Chaz was mentioned, he was managing the Claremont Surf Shop when God called him into the service of the Lord. We all have opportunities, no matter if we're poor or we're wealthy or we're, you know, a PhD or, you know, a dropout from high school. God can use you and develop your intellect if you'll be an open vessel. Different levels of all of our various societies can be touched by each one of us because we're the salt of the earth. Now, think of salt for a moment. You invite me over to your house and you say, Mike, we'd like to give you a salad. So you give me a salad. Your husband works for the state park services. And he is in charge of the deers and the animals that are roaming around out in the East County. And so I say, could you please pass me the salt? And he reaches behind his back and gets up a big block of salt, a lick block that the deer have. And they come up and they just lick the salt. And I hold it in my hands. I think, well, do I put it on my salad and do I stamp, do I lick it, then get the sound and lick it again? Do I throw it up in the air and hope it falls on? Well, how do I use something like that? But if you take the salt and it's ground up into little granules and you put it into a shaker with little holes on top, now I can sprinkle it around and it's useful. That's the Christian community. That's the church. You all have different levels of intellect, different levels of skills, different levels of understanding and knowledge. You all have different levels of abilities and friends and contacts. Imagine if all of us together were truly a church that was focused on what God said to us, that we were sold out and committed to everybody that we're sitting beside and loving and helping and serving. The explosion would be more powerful than the bomb that was dropped out of Angola Gay over Nagasaki and Hiroshima. The power of love is just overwhelming, and that's what the body of Christ is. Well, in verse 3, we saw the king spoke to Ashpenaz, first of all, the master of his eunuchs, and he's going to bring these young men. He uses the word children of Israel and of the king's seed. So these are royal people somehow related to those that are wise and bright. The aristocracy possible. We know nothing of their families. But he gives a actual criteria. And this word young men and children in its language could be somewhere from 10 years old to teenage years. And most believe because of the age and the end of Daniel's life that he was about 17 to 20 years old. The middle ground is 17 for most Bible scholars. But here's what they had to have. Children, verse 4, in whom there is no blemish. They couldn't have any problem physically, mentally, but well-favored, handsome, good-looking. Otherwise, when the king had them standing around his throne room, he wanted the subservient princes and kings and ambassadors from other nations to come in and say, wow, look at all these people. They're so handsome and they're so bright. And then he wanted them skillful in all wisdom, cunning in knowledge, understanding in science, and then such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. Now, the Chaldean language, which is spoken very abundantly in San Diego County, second largest group of Chaldeans in the world live in San Diego County, and it is not an easy tongue to learn, but now they're going to have Hebrew, and they may be speaking some other languages. But that's one of the criteria. They have to have the ability, the skill, the understanding. Now, these are tools, skill, understanding, ability. These are tools. And these are the tools that the Holy Spirit hones in you as you become a student of the Bible. In fact, the Proverbs say that you will end up being smarter than your teachers. That sounds kind of silly. But you get the skills and the abilities and the understanding from wisdom. And wisdom helps you now absorb things that maybe ADA, or you just didn't have an attention span to study, or you didn't like reading, or you were dyslexic, or whatever problem you say that caused you not to do well in school or to leave school is not a problem anymore, because God will work through you. So this is what he was looking for in these young men. The king appointed to them the best wine in the world, meat and drink and food, and he was going to give them 3 years to work on their minds being skilled. And then he changed their names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Belteshazzar. Now, the king recruits for the future. This is very important. You've been recruited. The king recruits for the future. Young men gifted by God. They're recruiting. You're being recruited all day long. All day long. I remember helping with a captive in the Middle East that our church began a prayer vigil and went to Rome and Israel and London and around the world and met some interesting characters. And finally, this man was released. And I remember talking to two men in a consulate, and they were recruiting. And I said, stop right where you are. I'm here in the name of God Almighty. I'm an ambassador of Jesus Christ. I'm not here to tell you what I think about people that I'm talking about that I have met, because you're just recruiting and trying to gather information, and I am not your agent. I'm an ambassador of Jesus Christ. I'm here for him. Now stop and think who's been recruiting you. As a young girl in junior high, the boys were recruiting you. As a young man in high school and you're an athlete, the colleges were recruiting you. The king recruits for the future, but something happened in the United States of America where we're not recruiting for the future of America. In fact, we're dismantling America as we know it. Young men gifted by God, the king wants. And all good gifts, the book of James says, comes from the Father of lights, from the Father above. All good gifts. The Father of lights, he says, wherein there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Otherwise, with God, it's not a light switch that goes up and down, and he's bright one minute, you can dim him out of your life, and now you're doing something, and it's all the way off, and, well, you're sort of praising the Lord, and then you're really praising the Lord. Uh-uh. He's God all the time. And there's no shadow. Now, that's kind of strange, because lights cast shadow. But there is no shadow with God. There's no darkness with God. So the king is so wise, he knows for Babylon to go on, he needs the brightest. Young men, I challenge you to please stand up for Jesus, the King of all kings. He's recruiting. Heed his call on your life and run the race that's set before you. Run, men, just like a Forrest Gump, but run for the glory of God. Some men run for the glory of alcohol or the glory of women or the glory of prestige or power or money or having a mansion and cars and investments, and they run for everything but for the right reason. Hollywood seems to thrive on producing things that degenerate our society. Las Vegas seems to openly advertise in a manner that encourages the downfall of your morals. This world is a temporal world, Daniel teaches us. Quit running in the rat race and run with God for the human race, because it's lost. And Jesus taught us that our world is lost and it needs salvation, and to get salvation, it needs a Savior. And he said, I have come not to condemn the world, but the world through me might be saved. We need more Daniels. I dare you to be a Daniel, to just start praying and asking God to make you a man like Daniel with wisdom and understanding and skill and knowledge. In these verses 3-7, we have no family background in Daniel. We don't know of his father. We don't know of his leadership in Daniel's life. We know that they had to be of the king's seed, so the genealogy was traced on him. It is sad in our country, according to the website innocentdads.org, 43% of U.S. children live without their father, and that's according to the U.S. Department of Census. 43% of children live without their father in our country. There's nobody building into these little boys and girls that strong male image. And what's under attack in the media? The male image. The role model. The man to be admired. And if they can find one, they strip them down and they try to do everything they can to make them look bad. We have no family background, but somebody was in his life. According to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, they say that 71% of teenage pregnant girls lack fathers. 71% of teenage girls in America lack a father. That's three-fourths almost. The father is such a strong role model. And Daniel was a young man, and Paul became the role model for young Timothy because Timothy's father wasn't a believer. Now, Timothy's mother and grandmother were both believers, but not his father. So Paul was a friend of the family, and he discipled this young man. In fact, he told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:12, let no man despise your youth, but be an example of the believers in word and conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. That's what the Apostle Paul said to this young man. He says it to all of you men today. In fact, as you read and get to become a friend of Daniel, you find out that every one of these attributes that Paul tells Timothy are in Daniel's life. Look at those. Let no man despise thy youth. And I remember I was 30 years old when I started preaching in San Diego. And it grew from 10 to 1,000 the first year. It was overwhelming. I didn't have any background to be doing what I'm doing. And there were these older men that were attending. And it was a very youthful, it was the rock church of his day. It was all just hippies that were coming out of their generation. And these older guys tried to control me. And they despised my youth. Well, you're too young. We're all from, you know, they were from Baptist, Methodist, different churches. And I said, well, I'll sit with you each week and listen to you. But they were so dry and dead and boring. And we had just bought the North Park Theater over there, and it was just going nuts. You know, 300 people, 400 a week were accepting the Lord, and it was just insane. So finally, they just got so grueling. I said, you know, this isn't me, but you take that theater, and I'm going to go back to Balboa Park and just take my Bible and stand there and preach again. And they all looked at each other and said, but if you leave, the people will follow you. And I said, yeah, you'll have a nice theater, though. No, let no man despise thy youth. But one thing with youth, you can be a little impetuous. You always must be respectful with youth, and this we'll learn about Daniel, that he can teach a young man how to use the gifts that God gives him. Be an example, first of all, as a man, in your word, how you talk, in your conversation, no filthy jokes, no, hey, look at that chick walking by. In your charity, your giving, how you handle your money, in your spirit, how it overflows and touches life. And in your faith, what do you do that lets people see that guy's living by faith? He did that by faith. And in your purity, that your life is set aside. Reverend Rodney Gist from the First United Methodist Church in Sioux Falls says that our culture seems to dictate that, quote, real men go hunting in the fall, fishing in the summer, skiing in the winter, golfing in the spring. And Sunday seems to be the logical day for all these activities. And I add to that, surfing year-round in San Diego. It seems to be the day that you can do all those things. But Daniel is the example of a young man that succeeds. Tell me one program that's on a weekly basis on television or one news story that tells about young men that are successful and succeeding. Mm-mm. No, it's have you scored this week? What are you driving? How much you making? Where'd you go to school? Can you catch the big waves? Or whatever the little culture is that the men are in, it is so shallow and down as opposed to, wow, this guy's purity, this guy's faith, this guy's charity and giving and love. This man is an example. That's where you want to be. Then only God can do that for us. Daniel is the example of a young person that succeeds in life, and his key to success is he is a man looking to God in heaven as his father. And his steadfastness is established in faith. And faith, the Bible tells us in the book of Romans, comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And how shall people hear the word of God except the word be preached? And how shall it be preached except someone be sent? I am expecting 100 new churches to be planted out of this church before I die. Maybe even more than that, but at least 100. You know, the Church of Scotland, Church of England have been selling buildings for a dollar. There are so many Muslim mosques that have come in from the Middle East, and they bought these churches. The Christians just fell asleep in England. I remember preaching in Scotland one morning in this beautiful cathedral. It was just gorgeous that was built by the Masons. It was just fantastic. It was like a Chariots of Fire movie building, and there was thousands of people could have been in there. And I walked up to that pulpit. First thing that I noticed is how cold it was in there and that how empty it was. Out of 3,000 seats, 25 people were there. And the women were wearing these big old heavy fur coats, and they had muffs that they stuck their hands in. They were in their 80s, and the men were all bundled up. And I got up there, and my heart was broken because at one time that was a flourishing. And it's like that all over Great Britain. But the Muslims are just coming and taking over. And now the Muslims are coming to San Diego, and they're moving in and taking over neighborhoods and communities. And another mosque is being built. In fact, a larger community center is being built in San Diego, and there's plans for more. You don't see it, I know, but I pray you get the wisdom and the understanding. I'll do all I can to help you as long as God gives me breath and the ability to stand before you. But you need to be a Daniel and understand the times that are around you. This concept here of a successful man looking to God is an easy one to grasp, but you have to do what he did. You can make it. You can make it if you will give your heart to God. This concept of recruiting people when they're young is everywhere around us. Think of the drug dealers. Why have we allowed drugs? Why? We allow them. Oh, we have a DEA and we have an ATF and we have all these agencies and billions of dollars spent. But how many of you have used illegal drugs and you have friends that use them or did use them or that have died or overdosed or they're Looney Tunes now because of the psychedelics? Hundreds of millions of Americans. We accepted it. Why do we accept pornography? Oh, we don't have... Yes, we do. It's on television. It's on cable. It's in bookstores all over our town, all over America. You see, it just starts out with a little challenge of the Constitution. Now, since we've been dumbed down and we accept everything that's filthy, our minds are polluted, we don't understand there's a group of people in power that are dumbing down the Constitution and doing things that are unconstitutional, and people aren't doing anything. This is what happened to Israel when Daniel was alive. They lost their power because they quit looking to God. But these four boys kept their power because they kept looking to God. Jesus said, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and then to lose his soul? Bars are recruiting. Liquor stores are recruiting. Pornographers are recruiting. Dirty-minded producers and directors of TV and movies are recruiting. They're recruiting you to a lifestyle. Recruiting's going on by the devil and his boys to get the cream of the crop to serve him. The devil is working on us all, but he's working on you when you're a junior high and high school and college. Why do we hear about San Diego State being the number two or number three party school in America? What a shame that we would have a title like that. The people would OD in fraternity parties and sorority parties, and there'd be rapes. And why do we see that as common every day instead of saying we resist this like Daniel did? In verse 5, it says there that he had given 3 years to be trained. Now, 3 years is equal to a master's degree. But if he already had a master's degree as a young man, this would be equal to a doctorate or a PhD that he is going to learn. This emphasis on the intellect and education is really important for the future of a nation, especially our nation. And our education system used to be the best, and now it's at the bottom in California, as the bottom of the bottom. Nebuchadnezzar knew that. In today's world, researchers have found that the 2-year mandatory military service in Israel helps create a mindset of team workmanship that gives a brain trust for them when they come out of the military to run the businesses. 7.1 million people in Israel. The government begins recruiting while students are in junior high, and they get the best minds for every job in their military. That's why they're like the second most powerful, third most powerful military in the world. In Israel, the military gets to choose the best, but in America, our recruiters and military hopes that the best will choose the military. It's a whole backward system. Today, one out of every 221 Americans are serving in active duty, while after World War II, one in every 10 Americans was serving in active duty, and it was difficult for anybody that had not been in active duty to get a job because so many men came back from the battlefield that they were a network that hired their friends. Nebuchadnezzar put an emphasis on learning. 45% of Israelis have university education, and some of them, the people that do these kind of polls, rank Israel as number two of 60 developing nations with the idea that education is related to the economy. They're thinking. Nebuchadnezzar was thinking. He was thinking. If you were to write a letter to the United States Military Academy at West Point, and you're in elementary school, by the time you're in junior high, about every 6 months, you're going to get a note or a letter from somebody at West Point at the academy. And when you get into high school, that's going to double. But by the time you're a junior, they're going to open a file on you, and every year in the United States of America, 50,000 U.S. students have a file opened up on them that would like to come to West Point because they've been recruiting. And West Point starts out a new freshman year every year with 1,200 students out of 50,000 that wanted to go. Now, I spoke there 2 years ago, and I asked the commandant, how hard is it to get into West Point? And he said, we take the top 1% to 2%. And I said, why? And he said this, because of the wars we're going to be fighting in 10 years. Now it's 8 years. We need the brightest minds for what's coming our way. By the time these students finish their 5 years at West Point, their education is valued at over $250,000 plus. 60% of them were varsity team captains in their high school. 14% were class presidents. God's interviewing you right now. He's communing just like Nebuchadnezzar did. I want the best. And here's the unique thing. You look at us compared to God and his kingdom, we're not the best. He's the best. But you look at what God can do with somebody that says, here I am, send me. God's picking the best. He thinks you're great. He thinks you're the best. He loves you. Do you remember the story of Jesus that he told of a rich man that went on a business trip, and when he was in a far country, went into a jewelry store, and he found this pearl. And he called it a pearl of great price. And when he saw that pearl, he sold everything that he had and he bought it. Do you know that that parable is about you? You are the pearl of great price. And that God sold everything. He loved you so much, he gave his only begotten son, that he would be the purchase price for you. Do you remember another story that Jesus told? He told this story about a businessman that took a shortcut through a field. He tripped and he stumbled. And he got up and he looked, there's a treasure chest there. And he covered it up, didn't want anybody to know, I'm sure. He went back and emptied his bank accounts and sold all of his assets, and he bought the entire field. Well, that's pretty wise, don't you think? Because maybe there's treasure in other places in that field. Sort of like striking oil. There might be 10 more oil wells that you can make $500,000 a month off of. So who knows? But he saw it so valuable, he gave up everything to get this one treasure. Now, you know what that is. The world, planet Earth, is the field. And the treasure that was worth everything is you. See, you don't see yourself like that, but God does. No matter how weak you are or what a failure you are, to you and God, there's a future. And he wants to make you the brightest that you could ever be if you'll just trust him and surrender to him like this young man, Daniel. God will bless you. Dear God, we pray that your Holy Spirit would fall on our hearts and that you would bless us that we could be Daniels. We could be men and women that would hear the recruiting call and be able to draw the line between the call of the wild and the call of heaven. Between the call of hell and the call of heaven. Father, that you'd give us hearts to understand the call of the devil versus the call of the Holy Spirit. Lord God, that you would give us understanding and the skill of knowledge to know the difference of the call of our flesh and lust and the call of our spirit thirsting for righteousness. Oh God, we pray that you would have mercy on the United States of America and her territories. Father, would you give us a chance? Would you pour out upon men on our country to stand up and be leaders like Daniel? God, may you search throughout this gymnasium and on the internet and the radio right now and speak to hearts, that they would surrender to this call. They would give themselves to serve you. They would hear you, and they would listen and be taught. And if Daniel had to wait 3 years, give us the patience, oh Father. Give us the patience to wait on you as you instruct us and teach us. Don't let us chafe against the bit, Lord. Let us get into the Bible and dig in and hear you and learn and be instructed. And when things seem like they're falling apart, we're going to hear the bugle. We're going to hear the trumpet. And all over our country, from Alaska to Florida, from Rhode Island to San Diego, from Kansas over to Wisconsin and up to Montana, down to Mississippi and over to Arizona, your sons and daughters, skilled with understanding and knowledge of you and heaven, are going to stand. And the people we love are going to give their lives to you because they will see in us that hope that has been taught to us through your word in Jesus' name. Honor these men and women, we pray. In Christ Jesus, we ask. Amen.